Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. We're joined today by one of the great interpreters of the American Songbook. You've heard her on Riverwalk Jazz, on Fresh Air, and on countless recordings. Our guest today is jazz vocalist Rebecca Kilgore, who will be in town tomorrow evening with the Rebecca Kilgore Quartet. She appears regularly at jazz festivals, jazz parties, and club and concert engagements. As mentioned, she's been a frequent guest on Fresh Air, on A Prairie Home Companion, and at Carnegie Hall with Michael Feinstein. Here she is with her quartet from a 2010 recording, Yes Indeed.
I know that you know that I'll go where you go. I choose you, won't lose you. I wish you knew how much I long to hold you in my arms. This time is my time. 'Twill soon be goodbye time. Then in the starlight, hold me tight. With one more little kiss, say nighty-night.
That's our guest today, Rebecca Kilgore, singing I Know That You Know. Kilgore's latest recording is titled Just Imagine, and we'll hear some of that shortly, which also features quartet member Dan Barrett, which you can hear in the background. The quartet will be making an appearance tomorrow evening at All Souls Emerson Hall at 7 o'clock. Rebecca Kilgore joins us today by phone here on Studio Tulsa. Rebecca Kilgore, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we're glad to have you back in Tulsa again. You were here maybe a year or two ago with different version of your quartet. This one is your main quartet that's been together for over 10 years, Dan Barrett, Eddie Erickson, and Joel Forbes. How did this group come together?
Well, when you're in this business, you play a lot of different festivals, and I became aware of them just by being on the same bill, and we all felt that we had a certain sympathetic musical approach. So we started working together, and it's been a challenge only in that we live in different cities and different states, so it's hard to get us together, but we love working together, and it's a real treat, and I'm really glad that we can go back to Tulsa.
And your three musicians, what's really interesting about how you've always done it in this sort of string, banjo, guitar, bass, and a horn, and you as vocalist, you've always had this great sort of flexibility, especially with Dan, because Dan can play trombone and play piano and cornet. Eddie sings as well as plays banjo and guitar, the bass, and you. And I think sometimes you even pick up a guitar every now and again, I think. So you have this great flexibility with a group.
Well, you've certainly done your homework, because a lot of people wouldn't know all those facts. They wouldn't even know the band's personnel, so I'm very impressed. Yeah, everyone in the band is flexible. Eddie, of course, plays guitar, banjo, and sings and tells great jokes, and he's very funny and very personable. And Dan is the musical arranger for the group, musical director, and comes up with great material and great arrangements, and you put it all together, and I think it's a very winning, great combination.
And, of course, it really does swing. It's a wonderful swinging group as well.
Yeah, it's amazing without drums that people can even dance to us.
Now, you mentioned Dan Barrett tends to find, he's the musical director, but really you do a bit of sleuthing yourself. You're sort of known as a song sleuth, somebody who finds great old songs and that have been moldering away, if you will, and you give them new life. What's the inspiration for that? Is that just something, is it a pastime, or just what exactly?
Oh, it happens naturally. I listen to a lot of old recordings, and I have tons of them, and people have given me ideas, too. Oh, have you heard this great song? And I say, no. And so I do my research and find the sheet music, and so I have a lot of help. But also, I've been doing this for years and years, and I'll discover a composer or a singer that I wasn't familiar with, and then I'll look at their body of work and find treasures, just wonderful treasures. You know, even someone like Nat King Cole, people know his most famous material, but he was extremely prolific and recorded some beautiful songs that a lot of people may not know. So it's more than a pastime. It's a passion for me to do this kind of archaeological digs into the songwriting.
Is it passion from just the excitement of finding a new song, or is it you're always looking for something new and interesting to sing? And, you know, there were a ton of songs written that sort of just faded away that might have been good, but might not have been in the right point in a review or a show, and just never was recorded again or ever sung again.
Well, it's many things. It's everything you've mentioned. It's the hunt, you know, the looking for the old material that is obscure, that's really good. So, you know, when you find a diamond, that's exciting in and of itself. And then I get to share it with people, and I get to increase my repertoire because I don't like singing the same songs over and over again. So, you know, it's the finding, it's the sharing, and it's the personal growth that I experience when I find new material.
Where do you suppose that came from?
That's a good question. I don't really know. It's, you know,
I was thinking you sang with Dave Frischberg for years, and I've always heard that he's pretty encyclopedic as far as having this incredible range of songs in his bag, so to speak. Was that an influence at all?
Yes. He and I did work together for many, many years, and still do. And I remember when we first got together, I was so happy that here was someone who knew all these old Billie Holiday songs, for example, because we'd both listened to them. At the time, it wasn't that fashionable to listen to that material. And so I had found a soulmate. So I kept digging up songs, and he would find old songs, and it was a real excitement in our musical friendship.
Now, I know just a couple of years ago, you did this wonderful review of Marilyn Monroe songs that she made famous in movies, I would assume, of some of her movie appearances. I can think of Some Like It Hot, and there might have been a couple other songs, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Right.
But were there other movies that she originated songs from? I'm trying to remember.
Yes. Let's Make Love.
Ah. So how did you go about putting that review together?
Well, this is my favorite thing in the world to do, and so I was delighted to have this challenge, this assignment to create a Marilyn Monroe show. This was with the Harry Allen Quartet a few years ago. And in the case of Marilyn Monroe, she didn't really record that many songs. I think it's a total of 35 or something around that. And so I watched all her movies, and some of them aren't published for public viewing. They're just not mass-produced. So on YouTube, you can see certain clips from some of the old movies. And so I found that there were some, again, unknown gems. Oh, boy, what's that other movie that she did?
Seven Year Itch, maybe? Or no, that was...
Well,
that was
the only music that she partook in that movie was she played chopsticks on the piano. A River of No Return, I think.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of a Western. And there were some really cool songs in that. I didn't end up adding those songs from that movie to the show, but because I had to pare it down, actually, because it was an hour-long show. And then, to top it off, Dave Frischberg had written the song with Alan Broadbent called Marilyn Monroe, so I added that in the show.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that's something you love to do, is just sort of find a bunch of old songs, see if they work, and when they do work, create a little show around a songwriter or a composer or a performer that these songs hadn't been heard for a while. Are you a person that sort of goes through old thrift stores and things like that, looking at sheet music, or is it more of old records and films and things like that?
I used to, but at this day and age, I'm so lucky to have the internet, and there are a lot of places where you can find even old sheet music online and old movies online, so I don't frequent thrift shops anymore, but I have a filing cabinet full of old sheet music, which, you know, tons of stuff in there that I haven't learned yet. So I always tell people that I have a huge stack of music that I want to learn, and for every one that I do learn, I add three or four to the pile, so I'll never run out of things to learn.
Well, I want to play a little music from your most recent recording, Just Imagine, which I imagine this particular tune itself to be one of those discoveries, and it's I had to actually look up the songwriters, and I still don't know much about them. Bette Cannon and Sonny Skylar, a song called just a little bit south of North Carolina. Now, how did you find this song? Is this something you've known for a long time?
Yes, I have. This is because I'm a huge Anita O'Day fan. When I discovered her in my early career, I just couldn't get enough, and I listened to everything she had done. And she recorded that way, way early in her career. It was kind of a novelty song, and it just stuck with me, and I really liked singing it. It's lyrical, and it's a great song.
Yeah, I think this is actually from her time with Gene Krupa at the, you know, very early in her career. Yeah. Well, let's hear a little about this. This is the Rebecca Kilgore Trio, which also features pianist Paolo Alderighi along with Dan Barrett. Here's a little bit of Just a Little Bit South of North Carolina on Studio Tulsa.
Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where I long to be, in a little brown shack in South Carolina. Someone waits for me. In each letter he says the weather's fine and the folks are feeling great. The garden looks grand and the red rose vine is clinging to the gate. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where my thoughts all stray, to the one I love best in South Carolina. I'm going back someday. I can hardly wait to see the face of the one I idolize. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, I'll find paradise.
Music by my guest today, Rebecca Kilgore, singing a song from her most recent recording, Just Imagine, featuring her trio. She'll be performing with her quartet Saturday night at 7 o'clock at the All Souls Emerson Hall with Dan Barrett, who you heard on the recording, and Eddie Erickson and Joel Forbes, making a return visit to Tulsa. Now, I want to ask you how you got started as a vocalist, because I think from what I read, it's somewhat unusual. You kind of got started a little later than most, and basically you've been sort of been an audience member at various clubs and finally were asked to sing somewhere or something. I'm not sure exactly if I got that story right.
Well, here's the scoop. I have always been very shy, and I was a closet singer, I called myself. I knew how to play guitar, and this was way back when I was in high school, and after that, I discovered Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday through a local disc jockey. And by the way, I'm from Massachusetts. So that was how I got turned on to that music, and I would play and sing in my living room, not in my closet, in my living room, and I was perfectly happy. I didn't have any aspirations, and at some point, long story, I moved to Portland, Oregon, and I started going out to listen to live music, and I won't say what year this was or how old I was, because you're right, I did start late, and I found a group called Holy Cats, which is spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y, Cats. And that's after a Benny Goodman song by the same title. And it was a little jazz quartet with a woman who played guitar and sang. And I thought, oh, I do that. So we became friends, and I really enjoyed her friendship. And then she decided to quit that band and said, well, why don't you try out? And I was flabbergasted. I said, well, I'm not a professional, so I thought about it more and more, and I did try out for the band, and I got the gig, and I was in Holy Cats for many, many years. Still am friends with the people in that band, and that was a turning point in my life. I call it boot camp because I had to learn so much so quickly in order to perform with this group. I was used to just playing by myself.
Yeah.
So it was really, really fun, and there's been no turning back. And at the time, I had a day job. I was a secretary. And I got so entrenched in that band and that life that I eventually quit my day gig, as we say, and I've been a full-time musician since about 1995.
Yeah. What was that experience like the first time when you actually, you know, you've been singing, you know, at home, you've got kind of got a repertoire, I'm sure, at home, but that first time stepping up on stage, were you scared, were you thrilled, or both?
Both. And I thought, man, this is so glamorous. This is what a glamorous life.
And, playing in a bar.
And I, you know, since have experienced more of the reality, but it's still a wonderful thing, and I feel so fortunate, and I've shared the stage with so many great people, great musicians. I can't imagine doing anything else at this point.
Well, it's amazing you got started, you know, at that particular point, because, I mean, what's really amazing about your sound and how you love the lyrics. I mean, you love the lyrics, but they're absolutely clear. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about your singing. There's a love of the song and love of the lyric and what it's saying that comes through all the time. And you know, it's just amazing that you got started so late, and yet the career just picked up really pretty quick, I would think.
Well, I don't know. I've been doing it a long time.
Now you have, yeah, today.
Right. But, yeah, it was very exciting, and that's a real compliment, by the way, that you gave me about the lyrics, because I do revere the writer of the song, the lyrics, and the melody, and I try to honor all those things. You know, I can improvise a little, but I don't want to improvise the song out of existence. You know, it was a beautiful song, and that's what attracted me to it, its beauty and what it had to say. So I really want to honor that and keep those songs alive, because, well, I don't want to get into modern songwriting, but I don't think there's much out there it doesn't grab me, let me say.
Yeah. One of the things that when you're talking about loving the lyric, there's always a decision a singer has to make is whether to include, especially in old songs with a refrain, whether you include the refrain before you get to the chorus of the verse or not. What makes that decision for you?
Well, sometimes when I've discovered a verse, we call it, that I hadn't known before, and I fall in love with it, well, I have to use it. But sometimes they're kind of simplistic, and it's not worth adding, or, I don't know, it's just a case-by-case basis. And sometimes I'll do the verse to a song, and sometimes I won't, to the same song. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times the verse does set up the song, you know, like in Just Imagine, the title cut from that new CD. I think the verse sets up the song very nicely. Well, why is this person imagining? And the singer tells you at first why he or she is singing this song, and then proceeds to sing it. But it is a nice way to set it up.
Well, why don't we hear that now, since you set it up in yourself?
All right.
Let's hear the title cut from Rebecca Kilgore's most recent recording, Just Imagine. The Kilgore Quartet will be performing Saturday night at 7 o'clock at All Souls Emerson Hall, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa.
I know I've found my ideal man. I always knew he'd arrive. Though he's a true heart appeal man, he doesn't know I'm alive. But I don't spend my time in grieving. I've learned the trick of make-believing. So if I can't have the real man, there's only one way to thrive. Just imagine that he loves me dearly. Just imagine that I'm his sincerely. I'm pretending that he's sending love notes ending. I love you. It seems that he's there as the day is closing on his knees there. I hear him proposing. He's not present. Still, it's so pleasant to imagine that it's true.
That's music by my guest today, Rebecca Kilgore, with her trio from her most recent recording, Just Imagine, which features Dan Barrett, who will be a part of the quartet as well, along with pianist Paolo Alderighi. Rebecca Kilgore is our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, I remember the first time I heard you, and it was Jazz at the Riverwalk. You did a number of programs with Jim Cullum, and those must have been fun to do because, again, they were really songwriter-based, so it would be a program where you're celebrating sort of a particular songwriter or a particular spot in jazz history. Those must have been fun to do.
They were great fun. And contrary to what most people think, I didn't record them in San Antonio. They were recorded at the Sacramento Jazz Festival, which is an annual event that the Cullum Band used to attend. And they would take advantage of the other guest artists on the bill throughout the weekend and record several shows. So that was very ingenious of them, and it was a lot of fun. I think my favorite one was a tribute to Maxine Sullivan, who's one of my all-time favorite singers from the 30s and 40s. I just loved her singing, and so I got to do some of her songs, and the great John Sheridan on piano was the arranger. He arranged them for the band, and voila, we had a Maxine Sullivan show. That was great.
Now, one of the things I noticed is I always thought the jazz party circuit, you know, that was sort of big in the 1980s, and I thought that it all disappeared, and I was looking over your calendar, and it's like, every time I turn around, you're doing a jazz party, which are sort of these events which are, I think, would be so cool to go to, because basically it's a party, but it's they invite a number of musicians, maybe a couple of vocalists, a couple of drummers, a couple of pianists, bassists, and horn players, and it's sort of like an extended jam session for a lot of times.
Exactly, yeah. And they are going out of favor. I don't know why, but they are a wonderful, wonderful way for musicians to meet and play with one another. I know when I started out, there was one called the Allegheny Jazz Party, which still exists, and I'm looking forward to doing that in September. But I met and got to play with Dave McKenna. I was over the moon about that. And at these parties, I've met people like Dick Hyman. I've played with Dave Frischberg there, of course. You know, Harry Allen, Warren Bache, Cal Collins. The list goes on and on. And it was just an incredible kind of a meeting place for musicians as well as fans, and I'm sorry that there are fewer, but I think I'm playing a fair amount of them.
Yeah, it looks like everyone that's still in existence, you're still playing.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure.
And it's for a specific type of jazz. It's the jazz based on the Great American Songbook, and it might be a little bit of traditional jazz, but it's also the swing era too, and I would think that would be a great way, you find new musicians, or you find musicians that eventually become projects down the road, but also great songs. You probably find great songs that way.
Right, and coincidentally, at the Allegheny Jazz Party 2 years ago, there was a trumpet player there named Andy Shum, and he is a big Spiderbeck-ophile, and he's a great player and a great guy, and he had found the sheet music. There was a sheet music, used sheet music display and sale in the lobby, and he had found the sheet music to Just Imagine. And so he learned it that weekend, and I heard it, and I said to myself, I'm going to record that song someday. I love that. So voila. Yeah. You're right on the mark there. It does happen a lot.
Well, we're looking forward to your next visit with the quartet. And one of the things I have to admit, I think it's really interesting, and I was kind of surprised the first time I heard you live, was that, you know, you trade off vocals with Eddie, and I think that's kind of an interesting thing where, you know, it's like he might sing a song, you'll sing a song. It seems like it's a pretty egalitarian bandstand.
Well, I should hope so, because who am I to eclipse the great singing of Eddie Erickson? I love hearing him sing, so, you know, it's just the more the merrier, and like Forrest Gump said, that life is a box of chocolates. I think the band is a box of chocolates, and each one is special and unique and wonderful. Yeah, I do like to share the spotlight, so to speak.
We should mention before you go that not only are you a great interpreter of the American Songbook, but you also have a little bit of that Tulsa music in your soul with Western Swing. You've had a long time acquaintance with Hal Smith and his various groups, the Roadrunners, and you love to sing Western Swing, too. And I think sometimes you go by Becky Kilgore.
That's right. That's right. And there's a disc jockey, John Woolley, who plays yes. some of my music in Tulsa. I'm looking forward to seeing him. So we will definitely include a couple of Western Swing numbers, so never fear.
All right. Well, this quartet, which started actually with the title BED or Bed for Becca, Eddie, and Dan. You guys have been together now for over 10 years, and I guess things are still really going well.
Yes. Yeah, we ditched the name because it was confusing and silly, and besides, there are four of us, and the acronym only had three letters, so we changed it to the Rebecca Kilgore Quartet, but it's going strong.
All right. Well, we wish you great great success. Hope a lot of people come out Saturday night at All Souls to hear the Rebecca Kilgore Quartet. Rebecca, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Rich. And I want to thank my Tulsa friends, Janet and Barry and Terry. Looking forward to seeing you out there and everyone.
Jazz vocalist and interpreter of the Great American Songbook, Rebecca Kilgore, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Her most recent recording is titled Just Imagine and features pianist Paolo Alterigi and trombonist Dan Barrett, who will also be a part of the Kilgore Quartet, along with Eddie Erickson and Joel Forbes, who will be performing tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the All Souls Unitarian Church, Emerson Hall. Well, we're going to leave you with a little more music by Rebecca Kilgore. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher.
I'm taking my baby walking. It's silly to stay home talking and listen to people squawking. Come on along and take a stroll on 7th Avenue. We go along window shopping and steal a kiss while we're stopping. But we won't be window shopping. Come on along and take a stroll on 7th Avenue. The folks pass by will give us the eye. We'll be unaware. It's so plain to see when you're with me. Well, I'm just walking on air. We ought to be home by 7. We may stay out till 11, 'cause walking is solid heaven. Come on along and take a stroll on 7th Avenue. Thank you.